Canada, as most of you know, is a parliamentary democracy, which means that when an election takes place, a new government takes power very quickly. For instance, with our federal election tomorrow, if the Liberals win, the current Prime Minister, Mark Carney, stays in office. And within a couple of weeks, a new cabinet of his will be sworn in. And if the Conservatives win, within a week, Pierre Poilievre will be sworn in as Prime Minister. And then within a week or two, a new Conservative cabinet will be sworn in. So the transition of power in our system is very, very quick, even when there's a change in parties. In the United States, their presidential and congressional elections take place on the first Tuesday in November. But the new Congress doesn't get sworn in until early January. And the president doesn't get sworn in until the end of January. So there is a considerable amount of time for the transition of power to take place in the United States, 8 to 11 weeks, depending on the office. The period of time in the United States system between election and the assumption of office is when the old president and the old Congress are still in charge, is called the lame duck session. And when you have a lame duck president and a lame duck Congress, surprisingly, a lot of work gets done at that time. Things that are very hard to do often are put off to the lame duck session, but it's also fair to say that the old president and the old Congress really have no mandate to do anything at this point, which is why it's called a lame duck. Now, originally in the United States, that transition between election and inauguration was much longer, 4 months. The election was in early November, but the installation of the office holders wasn't done until early March. And the original reason for this long delay was because in the early days, getting your affairs all tidied up and moving from the hinterland to Washington, D.C. took a long time. That delay over 4 months between election and installation wasn't a problem most of the time, but in 1860, when Abraham Lincoln was elected president, during those 4 months, seven states seceded from the Union. And this decision to leave the United States by these seven states was principally based on the fact that they did not want to be part of a country that would elect someone like Lincoln. And during that four-month transition between Lincoln's election and an inauguration, the United States started falling apart. And Lincoln was completely helpless to do anything about it because he had not been installed in his office yet. He had not assumed his office. So by the time he did become president in early March 1861, he faced a huge and rapidly developing crisis, a crisis greater than anything the United States has ever faced before. It ultimately led to the American Civil War and a million deaths. Election on the one hand and installation to the office on the other hand, although connected, are two very different things. Until you have been installed into an office, you have no authority or power to carry out what you've been chosen to do. Now, we've been going through our stained glass stories of Jesus as found in our Trillium building. There are 15 stories of Jesus in our worship space, 13 stories in stained glass, plus two stories that were never ultimately put in. They never got installed. And I think the people who came up with this plan for the stained glass windows about Jesus back in the 1950s, the ones that laid out the story of Jesus in picture form, did a really good job. We're hugely blessed by their plan. I think they covered the essential Jesus story very well. And their focus on his journey to the cross shows a deep theological maturity and insight. These stained glass depictions provide us with a critical overview of the life of Jesus. From his birth, through his teachings, through his miracle making, to his last week in his natural life here on earth, beginning with Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, the Last Supper, Gethsemane, Jesus' betrayal by Judas, Jesus before Pilate, Jesus' crucifixion, and Jesus' resurrection, which we celebrated last Sunday on Easter. And it might be tempting to think that the Jesus story is over at the 14th stained glass panel when he was resurrected from the dead. We could say that Jesus ran for office in his life, suffered a crushing defeat. He was voted down by the mob, but was finally vindicated and elected in his resurrection by the one vote that matters most of all. And it's tempting to say at this moment, story over. Because what more is there to tell? But of course, there is one major last step to take in the Jesus story. Election is not the final step. We know this from our own human experience. And Jesus needs to be installed into his office. He needs to assume power in order to effect his new regime of love. And that's what the last panel, the 15th panel, is all about. This panel right here that many of you can't see. But I really encourage you to take a good look at this after the service. I have to admit to you that I never really paid much attention to this last step of Jesus for most of my life. The importance of this last step is not something that had naturally come to me. And if I'd been the one organizing the stained glass stories of Jesus, I would have probably ended at the 14th panel of Jesus' resurrection that we celebrated on Easter last Sunday. What Jesus did while he was with us on earth, the teachings, the miracles, what he suffered through, what he died for, the reality and power of his resurrection, that's what I would have focused my attention on. And for me, the Jesus story would have been summarized very well on those first 14 stained glass panels. If it had been left to me, we would never have put the 15th stained glass panel in. It's only recently that I've come to realize that that final panel, that 15th panel that's been in our church pretty much from the beginning of the stained glass story, is probably the most important of all. More important than Jesus' birth, more important than his teachings, more important than his miracles, more important than his death, more important than his resurrection even. And don't get me wrong, the teachings, the miracles, the death, the resurrection, they are very important. But it's the 15th panel that matters the most. And of course, without the 14 stained glass stories, there is no 15th panel. If the chain's broken, then there's no election. And if there's no election, then there's no installation to office. So they matter as a group. But still, if Jesus does not get installed into his office, then he cannot assume the power and authority that is his by right of his election. And that would mean the whole incarnation, the whole story of Jesus would be pointless in the end because it wouldn't change anything. Can you imagine Mark Carney or Pierre Poilievre fighting out this campaign and getting elected as prime minister but never assuming office? What would have been the point of the whole campaign in the first place then if they don't assume office? In Jesus' case, the resurrection then would have become a giant stunt or the greatest magic trick of all time. Stunts and tricks interchange, but they entertain us, but they don't change anything. We can be impressed by them, we can be titillated by them, but we don't leave stunts and magic tricks changed on the inside very deeply. Jesus has to assume his office. He has to be installed as Messiah and Lord if anything is going to change in this world. Now, the primary story of Jesus' installation into office is found right at the beginning of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, that's where the Jesus story picks up right after his resurrection. And Luke tells us that Jesus stayed with the disciples for 40 days. 40 days in the Bible means a long time. Like 40 years in the wilderness, or 40 days of fasting, or 40 days of Jesus resurrected, staying with the disciples. And during those 40 days, Luke says that Jesus was continually presenting himself alive to his disciples by many convincing proofs. And that he taught them about the kingdom of God, giving instructions through the power of the Holy Spirit. And during this time, Jesus emphasized the importance of the coming of the Holy Spirit. to his disciples. And they were to remain in Jerusalem, remain till the power that had been alive in him had now come to them too. And at the end of the 40 days, Luke says that Jesus was lifted up from his disciples and that a cloud took him out of their sight, and then he was gone. In that moment of ascension, Jesus went to assume his office. Having been elected in his resurrection, now in his ascension, he was embarking on the process of his inauguration into the office of Messiah and Lord. And we see that same scene at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus ascends to assume his office, but the scene is told from a different point of view. And in the Gospel of John, the actual scene of Jesus' ascension is not depicted. Again, I remind you, ascension is where Jesus goes to take up his office. The resurrection is his election, and his ascension is his time of inauguration or installment. That particular moment is not shown in John's gospel, but it's probably alluded by John more than all the other gospels combined. For instance, and I've got this on a slide there, Debbie, in John chapter 7, this is what's said. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." And then interestingly, we hear John's voice speak here. The editor steps forward. He says, "Now he," Jesus, "said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Jesus was talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit, but it had not yet come. And there, at that moment, John intercedes in the moment of the story to explain to the reader what's going on. It's one of the few times we get to see the gospel writers directly in the story. And John says there was no distribution of the Spirit because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Glorified, to be glorified, was another way of talking about Jesus assuming his office. To be glorified is to be inaugurated or installed into his office. And of course, Jesus can't assume his office until he's been elected. And his election only comes about through his resurrection, when God votes in his favor. The world votes Jesus down, but God says yes to Jesus. The one vote that makes all the difference votes yes. And we might say in John 7 that Jesus is still campaigning. And then in his election second, and his installation is third. I want to draw your attention to this part of the passage that Katie read for us today. I got that also on the slides there too. "I did not tell you this from the beginning." This is where Jesus is speaking to the disciples. "Because I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is good for you that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And Jesus is talking in John 16 about his ascension to God, about his going to his heavenly Father so that he can be installed into his office as Messiah and Lord. In order for Jesus to assume his elected office, he has to leave the disciples. In many ways, this is similar to people who will be elected as MPs tomorrow. They're going to have to leave their own community and go off to Ottawa to assume the office they had been elected to. If they do not go to Ottawa, their election remains impotent, without effect, in some ways pointless. Until they go to Ottawa to be sworn in as members of parliament, their election has no effect. Jesus says something similar to his disciples. "I have to go away to assume my office. I have to return to my heavenly Father in order that I can be installed as Christ and Lord." And the disciples see this as a great loss, a defeat even, a crushing defeat. They want their leader and their teacher to remain with them, even in his resurrected state, especially in his resurrected state. They want him to stay with them. But to stay means that that means being elected but not installed into office. It means Jesus won't be able to complete what he embarked upon, what he got started. He won't be able to bring things to a fulfillment. And then Jesus says something really amazing to his disciples. In today's reading, in some ways it's a reference back to John 7, perhaps, that I read for you a bit earlier. Jesus says to his disciples, it's actually a good thing that I'm going away. It's good that I'm going away. Unless I go to my Father, unless I go to God, unless I ascend to my glory, unless I take up my office, the advocate will not come to you, cannot come to you. The advocate in the Gospel of John is another way of talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying to his disciples, unless I take up my office, I have no power to send the advocate to you. I have no authority to send the Holy Spirit to you. What does it mean to have the advocate come to us, to have Jesus send us the Holy Spirit? Because this seems to be the key understanding at play in all of this. The mission and purpose of Jesus in this world seems built around this fundamental idea. And the whole panoply of Trillium Stained Glass here, the whole story about Jesus in stained glass, all those 14 stories that precede the 15th panel seem to be moving us to this one key moment. And this one key moment involves the coming of the Holy Spirit to those of us who follow Jesus. What does that mean for us? See, when Jesus in his election rose from the dead, he rose into a life that was absolutely new. A life that he did not live before he was incarnate. This new life came with a new power and a new destiny. Our Lord's ascension into his office as Messiah and Lord means that he now has the power to impart his life to you and to me and to all people. That means he now has the means to give us his power and his destiny. That's what it means to be born again, to be born from above. We aren't born into a new life of our own. We are raised into Jesus' life. We are raised into his destiny. We are elevated into the eternal life of the risen Lord. The name the Bible gives to eternal life working inside of us here and now, today, in this life, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is eternal life working today in you and in me. Today in the here and now, we can know the power of Jesus' resurrection and the walk and his walk in the newness of life. We can walk with the Lord in the newness of life that he gives to us. Because he was first elected by God and then he went to assume his office. And now he has the authority to send us his Spirit. The power of eternal life awake in us, living and working away in our mortal bodies, here and now. And Jesus offers us this incredible gift, but we have to be willing to receive it. Jesus is not going to force you or me to receive his heavenly blessing. So what's holding us back? Because I know many of you still haven't said yes to the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Even though you are followers of Jesus Christ, the critical point of his mission and his life still remains unresolved in you. You're still living somewhere in one of the other 14 stained glass stories. But you haven't made it to the 15th stained glass story, the final pane. And that means Jesus' resurrection life has not been received by you yet. I think following Jesus Christ, being a Christian, is an office. To be a Christian is to step up into an office. It is God who elects you into this office, the one vote who changes all things, the one vote that matters most of all, elects you into this office. And now God has commissioned us to reveal Jesus to the world, but many of us have still not taken up our office yet. We are like an elected person who refuses to go to Ottawa to assume the office to which they have been elected to. And by our own unwillingness to go and assume our office, to step up into our office, we have not received the power that Jesus has promised to us because we have not authorized him to give it to us. And we have not been authorized to receive it. So I say to you today, let's get going. Let's take up the office of being a Christ follower and a Christ revealer. And when we say yes to this, when we assume our office today, Jesus will send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to us. That is the promise. We might say that's the deal he's made with us. That means the very nature of Jesus will become a part of us, which means we will step into his life as he steps into us. We may never share exactly the same relationship that Jesus shares with his heavenly Father, but in assuming the office for which we have been elected into by God, we've been commissioned to it as well, we are made into true daughters and sons of God. And we will share a oneness with God and with each other, which has the power to change the world.